This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
He was supporting his son, but he was skeptical. I mean, you know, look at, Carl Williams on Twitter. You know, you can Google it, but, you know, he would tweet things that were, you know, things that made the coaching staff look bad. So it was pretty obvious, you know, how he thought the season was going, and, you know, they didn't play well. I mean, everything he thought could happen, sadly, did happen. I mean, he saw it coming, and that's one of the reasons why he was so passionate about his willingness to take bullets and do what was necessary for his son to have the best chance of success.
You're listening to Score Evenings, weeknights 6 to 9.
I'm Mark Grody. That was the voice of Seth Wickersham of ESPN. Wrote a book. Part of the book is Caleb Williams' portion, and a lot about his father, Caleb Williams' father, Carl Williams, as it says, you know, in one of the headlines, Caleb Williams sought way around going to the Chicago Bears. And most of it was because his father, Carl Williams, didn't want him to play for the Chicago Bears. And Caleb Williams, thank God, and that's why part of this should be a celebration, Caleb Williams did not want to make it untenable with the Bears. As apparently Caleb put it to Seth Wickersham, he didn't want to nuke Chicago in the most figurative senses as it can possibly be had. Carl Williams also said, quote, Chicago is the place where quarterbacks go to die. Musin Muhammad once famously said that Chicago is where wide receivers go to die. There has been some precedent set on that, although there have been guys that have turned that around just a little bit for the Chicago Bears very recently. Allen Robinson, thank you very much. DJ Moore, you're doing your part for sure. It's also where offensive linemen go to die, I think. I mean, Nate Davis, Tevin Jenkins, perfectly good player, and now he's out of town. So there's a lot of death that occurs when players come to Chicago. And this is a quote, too, from the article that came from the book. Quote, this is from Carl Williams. I don't want my son playing for the Bears, Williams told several agents in 2024. So there's much more to it, but you're caught up on the most meaty parts of it, some of the more important parts of it. But let's talk about it more with Scott Baer, Bears Insider for the Marquee Sports Network, and he is getting ready to join us right now on the Circa Sports Hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. Scott, what's going on, man?
Yeah, I was just trying to steal a nice midday lunch with the missus while the kids were at school, and then a mushroom cloud went off right over my head. So that one got cut short. Bears aren't always good, but they are never boring.
No, they're not. It's funny, I was literally walking from my place in the South Loop to record something with Cassie Carlson from Fox 32. We were just going to do a fun, like what we just did. We were going to just talk about the schedule, talk about OTAs, I mean, or the rookie minicamp and the OTA that will be next week and all that. So it was going to be kind of fun. And then this moment I saw Cassie, she's like, Grody, things have changed. We're doing a different show. So what is your first reaction to this article? What stood out to you the most, Scott?
So I was in San Diego when Eli Manning didn't want to go join A.J. Smith and Dean Spanos.
Wow, okay.
So I remember that. And Archie was the spokesman of that, and he went full scorched earth. He didn't attack, like, the Coronado Bridge or anything like that, but he came after the organization pretty hard, and it became very apparent, we are not going there no matter what happens. What ultimately happened is that they drafted him anyway because their general manager was stubborn, traded him to the Giants, both teams, and then Philip Rivers ended up with the Chargers. Both teams essentially got a Hall of Fame quarterback. One got two more rings than the other. So I've been through this before. It can get really messy really fast, and I think that Caleb's unwillingness to do that kind of says something. I also think that there's something in the article that kind of gets lost, is that there was his visit to the facility that Caleb left it, according to Wickersham, left it feeling better about coming to the Bears. And so something must have happened in that conversation. But I think that so much of what we're hearing and your summation of it, which was so spot on, is the things that Carl Williams was scared about totally played out, right?
Yeah.
That Shane Waldron was unwilling and unable to coach Caleb Williams in a way that would help him. Eberflus, like, you go back to those decisions in January and think about that. The decision to keep him, right, really could have blown up in their face if this thing turns on its ear. Ultimately, it led to Ben Johnson, so, you know, I guess the suffering was worth something. But it was an interesting story. I also saw, I think, from the interview, basically saying, hey, look, that Seth went over what was going to be in the book, that this wasn't a surprise. This stuff was out there. If Eberflus and Shane Waldron were still there, it would be like, awkward. But at least Ben Johnson's there, and, you know, now we're just talking about the past.
Yeah, you know, it's like I was saying it earlier. It's almost like Ben Johnson coming here may have saved this. Like, if you believe that Caleb Williams is going to be great or even just a good quarterback, that he's going to be here for the next 9 to 11 years or so, getting Ben Johnson may have just saved this team from all sorts of chaos and a many more words coming out of the mouths of Carl Williams and maybe even Caleb Williams.
Yeah, and there was something that happened today that I thought was really interesting. I feel like the last time you and I had a conversation on the air, we talked about how the Eberflus regime handled adversity as bad as you possibly could have. The Hail Mary happens. They cower into a corner. They laugh it off. They say, no problem playing, you know, off on, you know, on that play that set up the Hail Mary. No accountability, no willingness to face challenges or adversity or tough questions head on, right? They never did that. That permeated throughout the organization. Spiral, 10 straight losses, right?
Mm-hmm.
Today, and I don't know if it was planned or not, but he didn't get out of the interview. Ben Johnson went on Fox Sports 1 today and knowing full well he's going to get asked about Caleb Williams. Now, look, Ben Johnson isn't a part of the old regime, knew he was going to get asked about it, did the interview, and basically almost defiantly said, we're not afraid of him not liking the organization or him believing this is where quarterbacks go to die. We're excited about the challenge of making him great, right? Yeah. That he stood up and he said, look, this is a story about the past. We're going to cut this off right here. We have no problem. I'm excited about Caleb. Caleb is excited about me. Let's move forward. In that one move, the head coach shut off the faucet. Now, look, it's still going to be talked about because it's interesting and it's a fun, dramatic kind of conversation about what if. And that can still exist, and it will when the book comes out, and it will whenever Caleb Williams talks again. But as far as what Ben Johnson has done, he took a cleaver to it. That's not something that I saw at any point last year. And when you have a leader like that, that says something to me. Keep the interview, know the question is coming, don't dodge it, and be aggressive and confident in your answer back. That's what leaders do. And again, I think I've said this to you before too. I've been through lots of head coaches. Lots of them don't have it. Ben Johnson's got it.
Yeah. I mean, I think he does. Like, I mean, we have to be a little bit cautious about Ben Johnson. But, yeah, I think he's going to be a really good head coach. I got to still see it first. But I think you're right. And I completely agree with you, the succinct way with which he handled it. And we will play some of that audio for everybody a little bit later on. And my guess, Scott... Scott Baer of Bears Insider for Marquee Sports Network joining us here on The Score. I'm Mark Grody. I'm guessing Ben Johnson will probably teach Caleb Williams how to watch film, because this is part of the excerpt here from the Wickersham book. At times, Caleb Williams said he would watch film alone with no instruction or guidance from the coaches. Quote, "No one tells me what to watch," close quote. Caleb Williams told his dad, that's what he told his dad, and then this is Caleb again, quote, "I just turn it on." Can you believe that? I mean, like, part of me is like, is that real?
That seems mind-boggling to me, that could happen. And you could kind of sense, right, even before the season started, you could sense some cracks about Shane Waldron and how things were run. But that is really surprising to me. It's also kind of surprising because, I mean, Kerry Joseph was in the building too, their former quarterback's coach, good kind of stand-up individual, you think. And Thomas Brown obviously wasn't part of that communication with Caleb Williams back then. He was that they wanted to keep the people talking to Caleb in a small group. But nonetheless, that was surprising to me. But it was very clear early on that Waldron wasn't a good fit. And again, the fears were realized. And if you go back last year, and it's funny because, of course, now hindsight is 2020, but you're in the Bears locker room all the time. And you know the guys who have no filter last year. Keenan Allen, Mercedes Lewis are the first two that come to mind. Uh-huh. And sometimes you go back and it's like half a sentence or like an eye roll when Shane Waldron came up. Where, I wish I would have paid more attention to that. And then after that Colts game when there was kind of a bit of a player revolt, and then, five, six weeks later, he's gone. And you think, you know, hindsight being 2020, if you could have got him out there and even put, and this isn't my idea, this was Adam Hogue, but you could put Thomas Brown in earlier, you know, could that have been more effective?
Maybe.
All these what ifs to how you could have kept the spiral from going out of control. And it's one of those things where, again, the Bears have Ben Johnson from that. And you're right, we don't know how he's going to be as an actual head coach, but it's just interesting how this whole thing transpired. And if I am the dad of a famous athlete, am I talking to an author of a book on the record? Probably not, I wouldn't say. But nonetheless, he wasn't wrong. So, you know, his premonitions were right. Really interesting just to think that they were even weighing that. These types of number one pick revolts have only happened a couple times. John Elway is another one, and it was impactful, but it's a tough move.
I am also, Scott, going to give credit to Kevin Warren. Because you can say whatever you want about Kevin Warren, and a lot has been said about Kevin Warren. One thing you cannot deny is this man knows how to present. He knows how to make a presentation. So he knows how to sell things. He is, whether you like him or not, this is a very, very successful man. And I think, I mean, we all talked about it and made fun of it, the sort of diminished look that Ryan Poles had when Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles were sitting up there. And then after that, we got to talk to Kevin Warren. Actually, it might have been the same press conference where he was kind of asked directly if Ryan Poles will have the last say on who the next head coach is. And he kind of hiccuped. I'm talking about Kevin Warren, kind of hiccuped over the question, and then eventually came around and said, yeah, Ryan Poles will have the final decision. I think that was Kevin Warren saying, guess what? I'm going to kind of take over over a little bit in the process and the gathering and the presentation and the salesmanship. Do you agree with that, that maybe Kevin Warren deserves a little bit more credit than a lot of us had been willing to give him?
I think that he is, he's been around the block. He's been to the puppet show and seen the strings. And he has an impressive resume kind of in the background. I think that press conference where he kind of maybe dominated the show a little bit, they kind of course corrected the next time and put Ryan up there solely. I had, if I can do a shameless self-promotion, I had Ian Rappaport on our Marquee Sports Bears podcast, the Chicago football show. And I actually asked, was according to what you heard around the league, was Ryan Poles' job ever in serious jeopardy? And he said no. He said it was always going to be Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles' show and hire. But notice how I didn't say just Ryan Poles, right? That it was going to be those two guys. And really what we've seen to this point, and the honeymoon always lasts. So just like I'm saying, I'm not trying to put Ben Johnson in Canton just yet, and I'm not trying to say that Ryan Poles and Ben Johnson are going to be best friends forever, but they're off to a pretty good start, right? And they seem to be in lockstep with how they like to do things. But back to your original question, this Kevin Warren hire to really kind of manage and be the president, that he has an influence. Maybe he's not the guy with boots on the ground every single day, like Ryan and Ben are, but stabilizing presence, right? I mean, even though he is a bit of a showman sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I think I can get behind you there.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good word, too. And look, I've been critical of him because of the showmanship and all that, and what exactly you look with the stadium and all of that. But now that I look back and think about stuff and go back and listen to things, I'm like, okay, you're right. I mean, because Ryan Poles was sort of flabbergasted that we thought that in any way, shape, or form his job was in trouble. I believe it wasn't, but I also believe that Kevin Warren has a little bit more influence. I don't have much time left here, but Scott, but any... I will give you a little bit of time. Any thought, any headlines that jump out at you as far as the Bears schedule that you like or that you don't like?
I don't like a lot of it, and it starts with a week 5 bye. That's the first opportunity to get one, and the Bears got that one. The only advantage is that the Packers got that too. But then they play 13 consecutive games. No fun. And at coming out of the bye, they play 6 of the next 9 games on the road.
Mm-hmm.
5 of those teams that they play are playoff teams. The team that didn't make playoffs employs Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. So, you know, good luck to it. Now, we do have to separate that they were a bad road team under Eberflus. We don't know how they're going to be under Johnson, but that's a lot of road, and there's a lot of outdoor games over the course of this in the northeastern section of the country where it's going to be cold, including Chicago. Pack your mittens. That's all I'm saying.
Amen, man. Scott, you're always great. Scott Bear, Bears Insider for the Marquee Sports Network. Also, yes, part of the Chicago football show on Marquee. I've watched it. I've enjoyed it. I love the vibe of the show. I like that poor Carmen Vitale gets villainized for coming at it from a neck. But it sounds like she's like pretty optimistic about things too this year, right?
Yeah. She's our voice of reason, though, which I generally like. Somebody's got to have one. She calls herself a wet blanket. I think that's an exaggeration.
That's it. Yeah.
But fun show. Appreciate the plug.
Thanks, man. That is, again, Scott Bear. You could follow him. You should follow him on Twitter or X at Scott Bear, BAIR NFL, and good stuff from him. When we return, I actually have a few more nuggets on the schedule, like my overall. I mean, we just did the exercise. The Bears are going to end up being 9-8, but just the overall view. I want to tell you about my overall view of the schedule. And then we've got to talk about the Cubs. There are a couple of players that I'm looking in the eyes, and I just want to say to them, we need you. We really need you. More Bears, more Cubs coming up on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Score Evenings, weeknights 6 till 9.
I'm back. I'm Mark Grody on the Score. Here's my general thoughts looking at the Bears schedule when I saw it, and we talked about this earlier on the Take the North podcast with Adam Studzinski filling in for Dan Wiederer. There's no horrible gauntlet of games this year, unlike last season, where week 11, which is another thing, by the way, that week 11 last year was the first divisional game. I'm really happy that there's actually divisional games to begin the season this year, hosting the Vikings and at the Lions. Week 11 last year, first divisional game against Green Bay at home, then another Soldier Field game against Minnesota, at Detroit, at San Francisco, at Minnesota, home against Detroit, Seattle, and at Green Bay. That was rough, man, when every team in the division was fairly elite. Now, there is some rugged terrain to be dealt with on the Bears' schedule to begin the season. They host the Minnesota Vikings on Monday Night Football. Then they're at the Lions at noon. They host Dallas. Dallas, they're usually good early. But then you have the softener with the Raiders in week 4, a 4-13 team last year. Another trouble area, rough terrain, at the Ravens, at the Bengals. But then in come the New York Giants. They host them at Soldier Field, a 3-14 team a year ago. So that puts an end, that stunts what could have been a mini gauntlet. This one's a little trickier, though. Starting in week 11, you have at Minnesota, home against the Steelers, both winning teams last year, at Philadelphia, at Green Bay. So it's four straight, fairly tough games. But then along comes to the rescue the Cleveland Browns, 3-14 last year, a home game against the Cleveland Browns. So while there are some tough spots in theory, because we know it's all theoretical because schedules change, our teams change, and we have no idea what's going to happen before the season even starts with some of these teams. But yeah, there is enough softeners, I feel like, in the schedule to where the Bears are not going to go on a long string of losses. Now, you could say that last year, the entire season was a damn gauntlet because they did lose 10 in a row and they only came up with 5 wins. But that's just the way I see the schedule right now. A couple other things. I do like that there's only 3 night games this year. Like, those are the true stand. I know the Bears have 5 standalone games, but the true standalone games are the games which are played in the evenings, and they didn't overdo it with the Bears. Yeah, we'll add the other two. This 5 standalone games is a perfect amount for the Chicago Bears, and 3 of those at night. They didn't overdo it. I worried that they might overdo it. Now, this is last thing here about the schedule for now. This is just a selfish thing. I do like the noon games, and right now on the schedule, there are 9 noon games. That's more selfish. That's more just as a reporter, it's ideal. And I think probably as a fan, I would imagine that most people still prefer the noon games. Like, we all love the primetime games, and it portends that your team is going to be good when they have those primetime games. And once they get there, it's pretty cool to have your team talked about. But there's nothing like a good noon game. And they have, man, look at this, starting in week 7. Hosting the Saints at noon, at the Ravens at noon, at the Bengals at noon, host the Giants at noon. These are all in a row. At Minnesota at noon, host the Steelers at noon. And then it breaks up on Black Friday at Philadelphia for a 2 p.m. start. But let's face it,
that's practically noon.
That's practically, yeah, okay. All right, we can keep that going. Love the noon games for the work. I love, like, a simple pleasure of my life is in noon games, home games, obviously. I will, wherever I'm living in this great, big, beautiful city of Chicago, I walk to the game in the morning, walk along the lake, and it's really cool. And it's early, obviously, because I got to get there early. But you start to see, like, the Bears fans gathering and making their way along the trail. And as I get closer to Soldier Field, I start to smell the tailgates. And then I see the tailgates, and then I enter, do the job that I have to do at Salt, to work the locker room, do the podcast, send in audio, go on the score, and then I pack it all up, and then I walk home along the lake, and it's just always beautiful. It's good for my soul. So if you care about me at all, you should think about me and love the Chicago Bears noon game. So we'll get back to some more Bears talk here in just a little bit. We definitely have some Ben Johnson audio that we are going to play for you, and we're going to relive a moment that I had earlier this week with Sean King. He and I were not seeing eye to eye on Caleb Williams, so we'll play that back for you, and I'll try to explain it further as best I can. As for baseball in this town, we have the White Sox and Cubs beginning their series tomorrow, and that will be awesome pitching matchup, really cool pitching matchup. Cade Horton against Shane Smith, White Sox and Cubs. We'll talk more about that here in a second. But the gentleman that I would like to talk about first here for the Cubs is a man named Jameson Taillon. Jameson Taillon, starting pitcher for the Chicago Cubs, who yesterday, during the Cubs' loss to the Marlins, 3-1 was the final score. So I was looking for that final score. And yes, the Cubs did lose that game. They still take 2 out of 3. But he gave up another three solo home runs in that game. He gave up 4 home runs in his start previous to that at the New York Mets. And yeah, I get it. Like, that's 3 runs. It's 3 solo home runs. But guess what, folks? That is 7 home runs in his last 2 starts. Now, previous to that, Jameson Taillon was really good. He had 2 really excellent starts. He was good against the Brewers and straight up excellent, I thought, against Philadelphia. What I want to say to Jameson Taillon, with Justin Steele hurt, with Shota Imanaga out right now for the Cubs, Jameson, the Cubs really need you right now. We need you. Look, I know that, like, he's such a great guy. He's great about talking about baseball. He's so good with the media. He's so good here on the score. I saw him sitting in the dugout the other day talking to Kate. I'm like, what a great guy. That's good. Look at me, Jameson. We need you to be really good always right now. It's so important that Jameson Taillon specifically is really good and really on his game and not giving up bombs and not get. He gave up, like, and I guess it's a little bit of an aberration. He gave up in that Mets game 4 home runs, all against lefties, studs, all against lefties, and he hadn't given up a home run against a lefty leading up to that game. But it's just been sort of Jameson Taillon since he has been here with the Cubs. I get it. He wasn't brought in here to be the ace of this team. He is what he is, I suppose, at this time. But I need him to kind of go back to his early days in 2016. I know he's throwing the ball a lot faster then, but when he was the number 2 overall pick, need to channel that a little bit more. We need you. You are needed badly.
Here's the concern I have with Jameson Taillon, and part of this is actually something that you've mentioned before multiple times, Grody. He's an every other year guy. Every other year, he's not horrible, mm-hmm. but he's not exactly good.
And for the record, he was good last year, right? You count that as a good year last year.
Yeah, he had an ERA, and we'll just go strictly off ERA for this exercise. His ERA last season was 3.27.
Okay.
Year before that was 4.84.
Mm-hmm.
His last year in New York, 2022, 3.91. Yeah. So, yeah, solid. His first year in New York, 2021, 4.30. So it's a noticeable trend. In fact, you go back to the start of his career, ERA in 2016. We'll go from 2016 to present. ERA, and we'll just say over under 4. 2016, under 4. 2017, over 4. 2018, under 4. 2019 and 2021, both over 4. 2022, 23, 24, 25, we just noted. It was off and on again. So it is remarkably every other year.
It has. And I will say, like, I think he's still been more good than bad this year. Like, he's still trending in a direction where I could say that he could have two straight good years of under 4 ERA, but this is just a warning. Like, it's just so, can't have this wishy-washy pitcher out there right now. Just can't have that. And that's what I felt like it has been for the last two games.
And 7 home runs in 2 games is 7 home runs in 2 games. I don't care if they were solo or not.
Right.
It's great that you're doing fine outside of that, but I hate the idea of, well, he only had 3 bad pitches today. Well, yeah, but those 3 pitches left the yard.
Yeah, they were devastating.
And I understand that, you know, they took 2 out of 3 against the Marlins. They took care of business largely, and offensively, you got to score more than a run against a bad bullpen. So I understand that yesterday was largely on the Cubs bullpen and not so much on Tyone.
Yeah.
But it's concerning when you have a guy like this who you need, as you've mentioned, you need this guy.
Really need you, buddy.
He's given up 7 home runs in his last 2 outings.
Yeah, and albeit there's a guy named Kyle Stowers who is just ridiculously
hot. Oh my God.
He's a big boy though, man. Like, you can see, I mean, I think he's up to 10 home runs, 10, 11, something like
that.
Well,
he had 3 in 2 days against the Cubs, so we'll see here.
Yeah, he sure did. Yeah, he
I'm
got
gonna check.
Yeah, okay, you check that out. He had a bomb against Ben Brown too in that game, which was a win, the Cubs Tuesday victory. Ben Brown goes 5 1/3. 2 runs, 5 hits, struck out 6, and walked 0. But Kyle Stowers was right there for you, hitting a bomb.
He is up to 10 home runs on the season.
Double digits. So I don't know. Maybe I need to soften my stance on Jameson Taillon. Maybe this ran into a red-hot Kyle Stowers. No, I am not. I am not going to lessen the stance on that. Jameson Taillon, great guy. Need you. Hey, once it, well, I guess we're not going to see Justin Steele back here at all. But hopefully this year, Shota comes back, and hopefully they can figure some things out. Hopefully Cade Horton will be really good, and then maybe you can relax a little bit. But in the time for right now, Jameson Taillon, his rhymes need to be on time right now. That game Tuesday, there were some important things of consequence that came out of it. I mean, I know that Dansby Swanson led off yesterday, but PCA led off in that game Tuesday, as he has been doing, and it was interesting. Like, he led off the game with a base hit, did not steal. Nobody was able to bring him around. So I appreciated his patience in that spot, but I was a little bit surprised with that, and a little bit surprised, too, that Dansby Swanson was the leadoff hitter yesterday. It was important that, for Justin Turner's sake and for the Cubs' sake, that Justin Turner did what he did in that game, getting the big game-winning hit in the bottom of the ninth to win it walk-off style. Like, it was just getting to the point of warning, it felt like, with Justin Turner, no matter how good he is in the clubhouse. It was just so important to have that moment for Justin Turner. We talked about Ben Brown, who was fine. He was fine. And Thielbar, man, just so good. Thielbar inherited runners at first and second with one out, and it was a 2-2 game. At that time, he got out of it. You need to say that, and I will shout those guys out every single time they do something like that. So Thielbar, great job right there. That's big time bullpen stuff from him. On the other end of consequence, because it keeps happening, and Julian Merriweather, don't call me Brandon Merriweather, ex-Bear, Julian Merriweather giving up the 2 runs on 3 hits, walked a couple of guys, a 30-pitch inning, and it's really sad what's going on with Julian. Just because when he first came to the Cubs, yeah, like, pretty good. pretty good, and it felt like you had somebody there. You felt like you had your eighth inning guy, and then I know he was injured last year, and we're not seeing effectiveness from him this year, and I had high hopes for him. The comp for him with me, and it's not exact, and I don't have all the numbers in front of me right now, is Brandon Morrow, who came to the Cubs, I believe, on a two-year deal from the Dodgers, was pretty good in his first year, albeit he was hurt by injuries in his first year, and then really never to be heard from again for the Cubs, a guy that I was very excited.
Isn't he the one that had that mysterious injury where he just, like, he popped up with a hamstring and nobody really knew how it
happened? I think you're right about that. Yeah, I'd have to look, but I think you're right about that. Right, because I think, I think he just played the 1 year with the Cubs, and then he really just never did another thing, literally, with the Chicago Cubs. And there were, I thought that was a really good signing by the Cubs. I thought that they had their guy in the eighth inning.
That was his last season in the majors.
Oh, really? So he's not even in the bigs. I mean, he's probably, now, 40?
He's done. Yeah, he's done. That was his last season ever.
That's pretty amazing.
He was only 33.
Man. Yeah, and Merriweather seems to be trending in that direction, too. Maybe he can turn it around, but it's just symbolic of the fickle nature of bullpens that you just can't depend on. It's almost like, you know what it is? It's like, Studs, it's like the exercise of going through a schedule right here in May. It's ridiculous to do. Trying to predict a bullpen and who's going to be effective and who's not is absolutely a ridiculous exercise. Another case in point, another piece of evidence, and another part of consequence here, Ryan Presley in that game, in this Cubs Tuesday game, all sorts of stuff. Ryan Presley, bases loaded, two outs, comes and strikes out his guy, pump fist, yelling, everything looking good and feeling good. Did Presley get it back on? Maybe, but that was a big moment for him. And you've got Ballesteros as well. We'll talk more about Ballesteros when we come back, more on the Cubs and the White Sox. I was really impressed with one of the White Sox games this week against Cincinnati. They took two out of three. The White Sox lost to the Reds today 7-1, but there is a game in particular that I will zero in on the White Sox that was a lot of stuff of consequence for the White Sox as well. I'm Mark Grody on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Vargas, high in the air, deep to left field. Get out! Miguel Vargas with a three-run shot here in the 10th. And the Sox explode for a four spot here in extra inning. For Vargas, his third of the season, and he has been on an absolute tear since that swing change.
John Schreffin with the call on the Chicago Sports Network of a White Sox win. That was on Tuesday. White Sox 5-1 win over the Reds, going down in 10 innings. Miguel Vargas with the three-run bomb. White Sox Cubs tomorrow at Wrigley Field. Cade Horton against Shane Smith. Shane Smith, guys, since you probably haven't been able to watch a lot of White Sox games, really good. Really good. 1-2 with a 2.08 ERA. Speaking of not being able to watch baseball games or Bulls games or Blackhawks games, I was thinking about, like, nobody has really cared that much because the Bulls and Blackhawks are the Bulls and Blackhawks at this point in their lives. Like, not very good, not very watchable. The White Sox, for a lot of the part, they are not very watchable right now. I was thinking to myself, what if some way, and this is not realistic because it's regional and national, what if we couldn't watch Bears games? Could you imagine? Could you imagine the uproar that would last? That would last a week, maybe, before there would be demonstrations. It would not be allowed. Like, the effort that fans would, because right now everyone's like, it sucks that we can't watch anything, and I can watch things. I have gone out of my way to make sure that I can watch every single game on the Chicago Sports Network. But if somehow, like, we couldn't watch the demonstrations that would be going on outside of media entities, it would get ugly.
And it would be outside of media entities that have nothing to do with it.
Yes.
It would be like outside of our
studio. They'd be right outside of here. Yeah, 100%.
Outside of Prudential. It's like, guys, we don't have anything, any control over this. We're a radio station. We don't do this.
There'd be militias involved if there was no way to watch Bears games. And by the way, children, there was a time in my life, I have lived long enough now to remember there being blackouts. This was pre-1985, I think, like late 70s, early. I mean, maybe people who have been alive longer than me can straighten me out a little bit. But there was a time when you couldn't watch games if you didn't sell out the stadium. I know that sounds crazy to think that Bears games didn't sell out, but there were some rough moments in the Bears franchise where they were not the Bears. This is why I cite the 1980s maybe to an annoying level, because that's what turned the franchise around. That's what people have been watching for since.
And the thing with those blackouts, though, that blackout rule ended within the last 10 years, maybe 15 years.
Yeah.
Because the Jacksonville Jaguars had like a ridiculous, I remember when they first ended this blackout rule, they had a ridiculous amount of home games in a row blacked out.
Yeah.
Because it was even like, if, you know, no matter what network were they on, as the, you know, Fox and CBS are taking over the games, still, if your stadium didn't sell out, you wouldn't get your game.
It was.
So that, now that's not true, because they got smart and they're like, why are we doing this?
Right. So they're all bought out, they're all sold out, and all that kind of stuff.
Well, they just don't black out the games anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Right. That's a better way to put it. That is the way to put it. But it was, like, seriously, no joke, It was traumatic as a child to not get to, because like you, the Score listener and Studs, like, we're all here, we're all in on this because sports meant a ton to us. We loved sports, and that's me as a kid, and not being able to watch what the hell is going on. It was really upsetting. Let's get back to the White Sox here. Miguel Vargas with that three-run bomb in the Tuesday game. Here's things of consequence that come out of
that White
game.
Sox.
That's right. Let's not forget, like, Vargas had the big hit that made it comfortable, that made you feel like the Reds were not going to come back. But Chase Meidroff, person of consequence on the Chicago White Sox, hopefully part of your core, had the two-out RBI single that eventually that won the game. That's the game-winning hit. That made it 2-1. Jonathan Cannon was great in that game. Six shutout innings, struck out six, walked nobody. You hope that Jonathan Cannon, along with Shane Smith, is a big part of the White Sox rotation going forward. So that stood out. By the way, he defends his position very well as well, does Jonathan Cannon. made a terrific play, a little dribbler towards the right side, got it, kind of bobbled it. The man on third strayed off a little bit. He fires it over to third base, and we're able to essentially pick that guy off of third. So Jonathan Cannon was just great, and I always love seeing more than five strikeouts and zero walks. That is excellent. And then maybe the most promising young player for the White Sox right now, Edgar Caro. 3-for-4 with an RBI, also from the catcher spot, threw a guy out trying to steal third. And Steve Stone raving about him, saying, in a paraphrasing, that he's maybe one of the smartest young baseball players around right now, or one of the smarter players that he has seen. And I think the evidence was his first hit, which I do believe was an RBI, was just a little push to the right side. They were playing him to center field and left. Second baseman had strayed over towards second base, and he was intending to go to right. You could see it. You could see him trying to hit to like he was Tadahito Iguchi up there, just trying to hit the ball.
Oh, what a name.
Right? And that's what he did. Remember Scotty Podsednik would get on base, however Scotty Pods did. Tadahito Iguchi gets him over. And then Jermaine Dye, was he batting third or was it Konerko? Was Jermaine Dye? Yes.
Ooh.
Dye or Konerko?
That's a good question.
White Sox fans, help us out. 3-1-2-6-4-4.
I think it was Dye.
I think it was Dye
and then Konerko.
Right. So those two would do the big work. That was a more traditional style of baseball, the one that Ozzie Guillen loved so much. Get rid of Carlos Lee. Give me Scott Podsednik. And it worked. It did work for one shining year for the White Sox. And then it popped back up in 2008. Good hearing Rick Hahn speaking. You know, it's funny, like I listen to a lot of the reactions of our hosts here at The Score, and I probably would say the same thing. It's like, it's good to hear from him. It's when you're in the thick of it, it's very easy to be, and we all were like critical of him, and it was a tough time. But then when you're through it, it's like he's a good guy. You know what I mean? He's good on the air, and I think people like Rick Hahn. And it's good to start to hear from him and what happened. And he's one of those guys where I just say, like, good luck to him, right? Like, I hope he gets another job. I hope he gets what he wants. Maybe he'll just go to Bears games. That would be cool, too. But
imagine running into Rick Hahn at a Bears game.
Well, wasn't he? He was at a game last year, I think.
Maybe.
Like, with his son, I think, I want to say. But look, he grew up here. He's a Bears fan. And I think, like, that's the part, too, about Rick Hahn. Even though, like, it gets pretty personal. I get it, man. Like, having to deal with us, Sports Talk Radio, and just the critiques that come, I see why you could take that personal. I mean, we take stuff personally here. So, but at the end of the day, he also understands what it's like to be a sports fan in the city of Chicago. So he understands it, as do most ball players and GMs. They understand what it's like to be a sports fan and that you are critical of the teams that you love so much. When we come back, we are going to talk more Bears. You guys got to hear from Ben Johnson. He was on the Herd today, was it? He was on with Colin Cowherd, and he was asked about this article on ESPN, the Seth Wickersham book, which an excerpt was taken about Caleb Williams coming pretty close to not playing with Chicago Bears last year. We will get Ben Johnson's reaction to that, and then a face-off I had with Sean King earlier this week on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.